If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. So this morning, we're going to be camping out in Ephesians, but our main passage of scripture is what Tomas just read, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. As you guys can see on your pamphlets and the shirts that we're wearing, our student ministry is called Forge. You also see three words: refine, fortify, and empower. Refine means to remove impurities or unwanted elements. Fortify means to provide a means of defense as protection against an attack. And empower means to give someone the authority and power to accomplish a goal. That is what it means to be forged. Forged in the fires of God's word and in the Holy Spirit. It is the mission of Forge Student Ministry to refine, fortify, and empower the next generation to proclaim, defend, and exemplify the gospel and God's word. For students to have an authentic experience and genuine desire to be forged into the person God has called them to be for his glory, the expansion of his kingdom, and for the benefit of his people. You just heard Tomas read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, where the Apostle Paul speaks of the armor of God, which has been forged. The armor of God has been forged for every Christian. Let's start at the beginning of the letter. Turn with me to chapter 1 of Ephesians. Chapter 1 of Ephesians. Before I begin, let me just go ahead and pray, so please join me in prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you for another day of your mercy and your grace, Lord. We thank you for quickening us this morning, giving us a breath of life to fulfill the calling that you've put on each and every one of our lives, Lord. We thank you for the youth. We thank you for their way of ministering to us, the adults, Lord, because you have called not only adults to lead, but we see throughout all the scripture that you called young men and women to lead and to proclaim and to defend your word. So we thank you for the opportunity. Lord, I pray that you guard the words of my mouth, that they honor you and that they honor your scripture. Lord, I pray that you not only open the hearts and minds of those sitting in here this morning, but also guard their hearts and minds from any unknown error from my tongue, Lord. I pray that you meet them where they are, forge them, and lead them where you want them to be, Lord. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote Ephesians. And I thought it was important to go back to chapter 1 to see exactly Paul's line of thought leading to the armor of God. Okay, so let's look starting in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. With every spiritual blessing and the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we would be what? Holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to what? The good pleasure of whose will? His will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, with which he favored us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he set forth in him, Christ Jesus, regarding his plan of the fullness of the times to bring all things together in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we Christians, the church, we also have obtained an inheritance. We have been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things. Say all things.
All things.
Not some things. All things. All right. Who works all things in accordance with the plan of his will. Verse 12. To the end that we who were the first to hope in the Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Hello. The gospel of your salvation. Truth. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is truth. It is the standard of truth. If that's the only truth we have in this world, that is good enough. The gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is a first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Listen to that. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were God's own possession until the day of glory. Till the day of glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, all the church, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That is my prayer for you this morning. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, in the church, in Christians. And what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things, say all things.
All things.
Not some things, all things. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. All things in subjection under the feet of Christ, who is reigning at the right hand of the Father in glory. And made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who fills all in all. What are these heavenly gifts that Paul mentions, right? He says, praise God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. What are these gifts that we as Christians have obtained because of Christ? He says, we have obtained our election unto salvation, our adoption into the family of God, which speaks to our eternal security. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you are in Christ and you have put your faith, your trust, your confidence in Christ, in the gospel, you cannot lose your salvation. Because for you to say that you can lose your salvation is to say that the work of Christ is null and void depending on you. That takes away the glory from Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. It is accomplished. Not one drop of Christ's blood was shed in vain. It accomplished everything that it was meant to accomplish. Let us not diminish that. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not lose one of them. Nothing can pluck you out of my hand, out of my Father's hand, for I and the Father are one. Paul says, I am confident that he who began a good work in you will continue to work in you and bring it to completion until the day of glory. He who began a good work in you, in me. Eternal security, Also, adoption. Let me explain that. We have inherited our adoption, eternal security. They lived during the Roman Empire. Paul was, yes, he was a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. He knew Roman law. And so remember, he's ministering to the non-Jews, okay? He's ministering to Gentiles who would be familiar with this language. And he says, you have been adopted into the family of God. Let me tell you something. In Roman culture, if you were adopted, you can never be disowned and lose your inheritance. You can never be disowned. I have children of my own. In Rome, if you were a natural born child of somebody, let's say I had my natural born child, but I also adopted someone in that culture, I could disown my blood child and they would lose their inheritance. But I could never disown my adopted child, and therefore that child lose their inheritance. So Paul is talking about the eternal security. You are adopted, therefore you cannot lose your inheritance. The culture of that time knew what Paul was referring to, eternal security of what Christ has accomplished for us. Another heavenly gift, a spiritual gift that we have received because of Christ, our redemption. We have been redeemed. We have been redeemed. Paul says in Ephesians 2, the next chapter, he says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, following the lust of the lustful desires of the flesh, the course of this world, the principalities of the air, and by nature, children of wrath. But God, thank God for the buts in the Bible. He says, but God made you alive in Christ. For you are saved by grace, and this is not of yourself. You're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Not of yourself, so that no one can boast. It's by God's grace alone. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased. That's what the word redeemed means. You have been bought with a price, and the price was Christ's blood. Another spiritual gift that we have received, our sealed inheritance to eternal glory and the Holy Spirit. Christian, brothers and sisters, you are in Christ. You are sealed. In Christ. As I stated before, you cannot lose your inheritance. And you have received the Holy Spirit, which Paul says is the down payment of that inheritance. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, leads us, guides us, convicts us. Can we grieve the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Can we lose our salvation? Can we lose our eternal security? No. But we as individuals can lack assurance within ourselves. It's two sides of one coin. Each and every single one of us, Paul even attests to this, we can suffer with our own sin. Each and every one of us suffers with a particular sin or an addiction or something like that. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. You have been sealed in Christ. You may feel at times that you are lacking your assurance, but on the other side of that coin, Jesus is saying, you're mine. You're mine. I got you. I am the good shepherd that goes after that one sheep and brings you back to the fold. I will not lose one of you. I will not lose one of you. Another spiritual gift, our new life in the Spirit. Our new life in the Spirit. We are a new creation. This is another thing that we have received in Christ. We are a new creation. Paul says, when you continue reading, Paul says, put on the new self. The old self has died. You are a new creation. We have received the Spirit of life. We were spiritually dead, as he says in Ephesians 2. We were spiritually dead, but God made us spiritually alive. He breathed, just as he breathed in Adam. And Adam became a living soul. So we too, receiving the breath of life, become spiritually alive. All because of what Christ has accomplished for us. Praise him. Paul continues throughout the letter with therefores. All right, so when you continue reading the letter, you keep seeing where he says, so, therefore, in light of this, right? Whenever you see a therefore, always go back and see why the therefore is therefore. Right? Remember that. Whenever you see a therefore, always read back and see why the therefore is therefore. Because whoever's saying that is saying, in light of everything that I've just said, in light of all this, now this. So because of what we have gone over in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, Paul continues with his therefores. In light of what Christ has done for us, he says throughout the rest of his letter, be united as one body and one mind, the church. We must be united in one body and one mind. Live your life in such a way that reflects your new nature. Is it going to be hard? Absolutely. But that's why the scriptures say, deny yourself. That's why the scripture says, when it comes to the sin that you're struggling with, put it to death. Put it to death. Number three, in light of what Christ has done for us, be imitators of God. Reflect Christ. Number four, now it's getting into the homes. It's not just individually, it's not just in the church, but it's getting into our homes. Have your marriage serve as a reflection of Christ and his church through love, sacrifice, faithfulness, submission, and respect. Children, youth, students, listen up. Children, obey and honor your parents. Obey and honor your parents. But parents, you're not let off the hook. Paul says, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them up in the instruction of the Lord. Raise them up in the instruction of the Lord. See, Paul is saying what Jesus did on the cross in his life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension does not only affect you as an individual. It has an effect on us collectively as a people of God and in the home. And in the home. But there's one thing that Paul saves for last regarding what has been gifted with Jesus Christ. The armor of God. The armor of God. He saves this for last, and it's for a good reason. Let me give you an example. I'm going to be reaching 14 years in December, active duty in the U.S. Coast Guard. Okay? So anyone who has served or is currently serving in the military, you would know that when you get to boot camp, basically they line you up, and what happens? They give you your uniform, they give you everything that you need, standard issue, right? They give you everything you need to perform the duties that you are called to do. The same is with the armor of God. This is one of the things that God has given us. This is one of the heavenly gifts, spiritual gifts that God has given us in Christ. You have been given a standard issue of the armor of God. Now, when Paul was writing this, mind you, when Paul was writing this, he was under house arrest. Okay? Almost getting to his execution when he was beheaded by Emperor Nero in Rome. He was under house arrest. And so, of course, there would be a Roman guard standing, a Roman soldier standing guard. So you can just imagine, as Paul is writing this letter, he's looking at the Roman soldier, his armor. And through that, the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write these words. Let's go ahead and read again Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Stand firm in light of everything that I've just said, in light of everything that I have written to you, Ephesians, in light of everything that God has done before the foundation of the world, and everything that he has done in and through Christ, that he has done and accomplished for us, and you are living this out not only amongst yourselves, but within your homes. In light of all this, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, you can stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all the saints. Every request for all the saints. Now I can go in and explain each and every single piece of armor and its significance, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to keep the main thing right now. The spiritual weapons given to the church, given to the Christian that Paul is driving, are as follows, and it corresponds with the armor of God. Number one, truth. We have been given truth. Number two, we have been given righteousness. Number three, we have been given the gospel of peace. Number four, we've been given faith, saving faith. Number five, we've been given salvation. Number six, we've been given the word of God. The word of God. And number seven, we've been given the means of grace of prayer. We've been given prayer. In our culture, one of the most common phrases we hear is speak your truth. I'm not only speaking to the youth here. I'm speaking to the adults. But the youth are going to be dealing with this. You students are going to be dealing with this when you go back to school. And you're back with your friends and your peers. In our culture, one of the most common phrases we hear is speak your truth. As if truth is subjective. However, truth is objective. It does not change. It is everlasting. It is unwavering and uncompromising. The standard of truth is God's word. Jesus says in John 17, when he's giving his high priestly prayer, when he's praying for us, he said, Father, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. You want to grow in your walk with Christ? You want to grow in your sanctification? Don't neglect reading the Bible. Someone once said, if your Bible's falling apart, you're probably not. Read the word, study the word, proclaim the word, and defend the word. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ, which should continue to guard our hearts against boasting on ourselves. We shouldn't boast in ourselves. Therefore, reminding us to extend the same grace to others as we have received from the Lord. You have received grace from God, extend that same grace to others. Don't boast in yourself because you have nothing to boast in but Christ and in his grace. The gospel of peace is the means by which we execute our calling as ambassadors of Christ to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation and make disciples. As ambassadors, we are representatives. So when you go out into the world, when you go to your family, when you go to your friends, when you go to your workplace, you are an ambassador of Christ. You are a representation of Christ. And you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That God is reconciling the world to himself. Share that reconciliation that you share in with others. And make disciples. Make disciples. Don't just make sure people convert. Make disciples. Don't just lead them to the Lord and then leave them high and dry. Build that relationship. Make disciples. Faith is your trust and confidence in the Lord. It's your trust and confidence in the Lord for what he has accomplished in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. What he is accomplishing in and through you, his church, and what he will accomplish at his return. Okay? What he has accomplished, what he is accomplishing, and what he will accomplish. Have trust and confidence in those things. Salvation speaks to our redemption in Christ Jesus, who has saved us from the penalty of sin, saved us from the power of sin, and one day will save us from the very presence of sin. Prayer is a means of grace by which we can commune with God at any time, any place, under any circumstance, in any posture, with an attitude of humility in order to glorify him, grow in our relationship, and align our will with His. Not align His will with ours. Align our will with His. Church, students, the armor of God that Paul calls us to put on is a reflection. It's a reflection of what has already been accomplished and provided for us in Christ. Like the military, it's already been issued to you. Now walk in it, serve in it, defend in it, and fight the good fight in it. Because Jesus is our King, and at the head of His army, in all power, authority, and dominion. Amen.